Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening. Thank you so much for calling in. We want to take this time to welcome our callers into the Sound of Power radio broadcast, streaming live at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Tonight, our guests are the members of the Prophetic Intercessors Network. We're looking forward to an exciting discussion on tonight, and we thank God for all of our listeners, both via internet as well as those of you who have taken the time to call in tonight. Tonight's dialogue will be concerning persisting in prayer. We're going to be looking at the argument that some use regarding praying consistently over the same matter. We want to look at that in the scripture. And so tonight we have Minister Alicia Brown, who is going to lead us in discussion tonight concerning this topic. And we want to say welcome, Alicia. Thank you so much for calling in. Welcome, members of the Prophetic Intercessors Network. We are so excited about this conversation tonight. And so, Alicia, we want to take this time right now to go ahead and turn this portion of tonight's call over to you, and I will be here to walk with you through our discussion, but right now I want to turn it over to you. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor. And again, I'm so excited about the teaching tonight, and thank everybody for calling in. And again, as Pastor Belinda said, we're going to discuss what many believe, that when you pray consistently over the same issue, that's really showing that a lack of faith. And what really made me think about this subject and put it on my heart is when me and Pastor Belinda were thinking of talking about different subjects and about what people wanted to know about prayer, I thought about where I work, because I work in a place where it's a lot, it's a call center, so it's like two people at one time from all walks of life, and many of them are believers. And sometimes when we are fortunate enough to have great leadership and the fellowship of great people, we really assume everyone thinks the same way we do, even though they also go to church and everything. And I have found that a lot of people really believe that. A lot of people have different thoughts based on maybe tradition or maybe what they've been taught, but they really haven't searched the word for themselves. But a lot of people believe that it doesn't take all that, when that God has already done it. Once you put your prayer in, that you need to go ahead, and I know prayer without work, I mean faith without works is dead, but just go ahead and walk in faith, and that you're not showing any faith. So I keep going back and forth to God and back and forth into prayer. So what I want to do is just go into the Word of God. Elder Belinda suggested Luke 18, and I really think it's a wonderful place to start. Because in this passage, Jesus is speaking, and he is actually teaching, and he's using a parable. And the parable is when that he often uses, and it's when he uses like an earthly example to explain heavenly truth. So he's using something that's familiar with the people that he's teaching to explain what God is saying about petitioning him. So I'm going to read really quickly first, and then when I stop, I want you to think about and explain. Give me your feedback about, is this woman, is she faithful or faithless? Is she operating in faith? And what does this passage speak to you? So here begins the reading of God's holy word. And this is in Luke chapter 18, starting in verse 1. And it says, "And he spoke a parable unto them to this end, and men are to always pray and not faint, saying, there was in a city a judge who feared not the Lord, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what this unjust judge saith." And so I'm just going to open this discussion. If anybody wants to get feedback of this widow in this circumstance, when she's constantly going to this judge, and I'm sure in this situation, she probably knows that he's unjust. He probably already has a reputation, but she has a need that needs to be met, and she is not really looking at who he is, but his position to assist her. Mm-hmm. Does anybody have any feedback?
And all the lines are open, so everyone is free to share or respond. All lines are open.
Okay, well, we'll just move forward. Basically, I mean, because I really want everyone to have, if someone has an opinion, because I don't want to just sit and talk with my opinion, but it really is not our opinion. It's what the Word of God says. He's using this example of this woman going to the judge, and he has really decided and saying within himself, even though he don't care about God or doing anything right or what her situation is, he knows that she's going to keep coming back. So her persistence, her perseverance has actually made his decision, not who he is. And then the scripture even goes on to say, oh, I'm sorry, go ahead. Was anybody saying anything?
Oh, I'll wait. I was about to add something, but I'll wait.
No, go ahead.
Oh, well, I was going to say that while it is true that he did it, okay, I'm trying to wake up. While it is true that he did it because he didn't want her to keep bugging him and he didn't want to look bad in front of the people, it's synonymous with God doing things for us. And I don't mean as far as him not trying to look bad in front of the people or us getting on mm-hmm. his nerves, but basically that man did it for his namesake. And a lot of times when we pray, we ask God to do something for his namesake. And so he does it for that reason. So it's similar in the sense that he's an unjust judge and God is a just judge who will do right. The man did it for two reasons, so that the lady wouldn't continually weary him, and for his namesake, so he wouldn't look bad to the people. And then there are times when God will answer our prayers for his namesake. So I just wanted to bring out that correlation.
That's a good point. It even supports that in a following verses, because he says, and the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry out day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? And I tell you that he will avenge them, especially nevertheless when the Son of Man come and shall find faith in the earth. So that is what motivates God too, because we belong to him. And we also have to understand too, that should motivate us even the more to consistently pray to him. And I want to bring out also, I think I forgot where I put it. Philippians 4:6-7, where it says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And this is really blessed as an intercessor, because we are to be careful for nothing, bring everything to God. But sometimes when you're in prayer, you don't automatically get peace. Especially if you have a burden, and you do have to consistently go in or stay in until you get that release of peace. Any questions or any?
I wanted to go back to a statement you were making, or I think a question you were about to pose earlier when you asked the question, when we read this story, would we say that she was a woman of faith or was she faithless based upon what the story said about her? Would you say her actions were actions of someone that was operating in faith or someone that was not operating in faith? And I think that's a good question to kind of poll the listeners. When you hear this story, would you say that that widow woman in Luke 18 was operating in faith or she was not. And if we can get some feedback from those of you that are listening in.
I think that she was, oh, this is Teresa Taylor. How are you doing?
Hi.
Hi. I think.
Hey, Teresa Taylor.
She was
praise
operating
the Lord.
In faith because of her consistency or kept going, you know, back to him and not giving up. So I believe that she was operating in faith.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Hi, this is Shauna.
Go ahead, Shauna.
I would agree definitely that she was operating in faith. When I listen to that parable, the thought that comes to mind is the squeaky wheel gets the oil. And so if we just, you know, kind of take it to the natural, like even with my own kids, like, you know, I'm reminded like my daughter will continually ask for something. And I may say something like, okay, you know, you just asked me for that. And one time she replied, well, you know, I know you will do it, but I want to make sure you remember to do it. And so, you know, by us continually going to God in prayer, or even when we just, in that example, when you continue to ask somebody for something, it takes a certain level of boldness to do that,
mm-hmm.
you know, because you could have the mindset, okay, well, they already said no, or it didn't happen yet, so I guess it's not going to happen. But to continually go back in prayer for the same thing over and over again takes an extreme amount of boldness. It takes an extreme amount of faith because you know that God is able and he has the power to do anything that he pleases. But then the question is, will he do it, and then will he do it for me? And so.
And you have to take also into account, thank you, Shauna, for that, because during this time, Jesus is really introducing God on a different way to the listeners, because they have been, they're Jewish, and they have been very legalistic, and they see God, so he's revealing God to them in a different way. And so they really aren't, they're not used to going to him themselves. So he picks this woman who has a need. Sometimes your need will arise, but you just know that person got what you want. You know, he knows that judge, even though he may be unjust, he has the authority to do what he needs him to do. And an example just came, even though it's not an authority type thing, but I remember one time I was at the gas station. And I was getting my gas, and this lady just came and jumped in my car. And I didn't get up, you know, because she was just like, she didn't care what my fault was. She was just like, look, I just brought this gas. My car stopped. My kids have been up the street. I just need you to run me up there. Me? I'm coming to you. I know you don't know me, but can you just, I know you got this car. And I guess I probably looked, you know, at this particular gas station like, harmless or whatever, the best bet. But she just came out of nowhere. So she was operating in faith that I would do it, and I would say yes. But she was motivated by her need, and it gave her that boldness to be like, "Look, I know you're going someplace, but I'm right up here, take me up here to put this gas in my car."
Wow.
And that's how I see this woman.
I see her as.
You know, she needs to do it. So it's really, even though he's unjust, but her consistently coming to him, he's like, I'm not going to have any rest. Someone was getting ready to say something.
I was just looking at it as a contrast in terms of when we are have a need to be met, and it's not met in the manner of time. And so thinking about that scripture, I believe, but help my unbelief. So in the contrast, and based on what Pastor Belinda asked, could she have been doubtful and not have the level of faith? But because she was her need wasn't met at the time, because sometimes if I'm just thinking about myself, that if I am asking and then it's not coming through. I believe, but then help the part of my belief that's not being met, my unbelief. So in the contrast, whether she had, I think the question was, what, and the question has been addressed, but on the contrast aspect of it, was she a woman of faith? Or was she just coming because, you know, look, my doubt is coming, it's kind of taking over, so I'm going to go one more time, and I'm coming, but I'm not seeing this need being met. So I was just looking at it as a contrast to I believe, but help my unbelief. That part of that little spark part that keeps nagging at me, I'm not sure if this is going to come through at the moment that I would like it to.
I kind of see what you're saying, and I think that's the beauty of being persistent, because as humans, we always going to have that. What if this, you know, the enemy over there saying it's not going to work, you know, so I'm sure she probably thought he may say no again, and he said no time, but I got a need, and I'm going to still keep coming. And I think that's the beauty of it, you know.
Wow.
You know, just like
and
this,
I think,
mm-hmm.
No, I was going to say, and just listening to the responses, the one thing that I see in consistently asking God for a particular issue has more to do with us than him. When you when you look at this, if you really reflect on this, the consistently asking doesn't have anything to do with the God who is able to do. It has everything to do with the recipient, because you know there were so many different perspectives, which means we could keep asking based upon where we are. Some of us can be asking because, you know, as Cheryl was saying, we believe, but then there's this place of unbelief because it hasn't happened when I expected it to happen. Or we can be asking because I know, you know, as Shauna said, I know that you can do it. I just want to remind you to do it. And so it's everything that has to deal with our psyche, whatever is going on with us psychologically. As it relates to what we're asking God for, determines how long we continue to ask and why we're asking it. So the reasons for the consistency in asking could have such a wide range, but all of it has everything to do with us, even if it's us trying to get our faith to the place to where we believe. And then when you And I think it was Shauna also that talked about the boldness. I think about when you consider it does take somebody being bold to keep asking somebody for something they have not given them. So it takes a faith. If I've been asking you and you're not responding, you're not making any gestures towards me, you're not making me feel like you're even paying attention to me, but something in me still tells me that you will do it. There's some level of faith to just keep coming to somebody who is, in other words, ignored you. They paid you no mind, but for some reason, something inside of you says, I'm going to sway them, whatever, for whatever reason, they've not responded. I'm going to sway them into my direction. I'm going to get the favor that I need for this. So I'm going to keep asking them, even though they haven't responded, even though they act like I don't exist. That then, to me now, when you flip it that way, that becomes a great faith because, you know, as Jesus says, she's dealing with an unjust judge who don't have no regard for God or man. But she keeps coming, she wearing him out. She believes that there's a part of him I can get to. I'm going to wear him out. So, you know, do we have that kind of belief that there is a part of God? There's the healer. When I'm sick, I'm going to keep talking to the healer. I'm going to get my results from the part of him that I need. There was a part in him evidently that she knew was going to respond. She wasn't focused on the part of him that didn't regard God. She wasn't focused on the part of him that didn't regard man. Even if it was just, even if she was just focusing on the fact that he was just going to get irritated, there was something, there was a part in him that she focused on that kept her going. And for us, sometimes we have to do the same. There's a part in us that focuses on something specific. What's that specific promise that you know about God that you keep focusing on? Because it's that that's going to get me my answer? It's that that's going to cause God to move. It's that that's going to get God's attention. So, you know, I mean, the more you look at this, and of course there's so much to unpack just from this scripture, but when you look at what is already being said, it looks like the reason why we keep going to God for anything is there is some part of us that we are either working through psychologically, spiritually, or even mentally. There is something in us that we're trying to break down so that we can get ourselves to the place that you mentioned, Minister Alicia, when you said that peace. We don't always have that peace once we pray, like Philippians 4 says. We don't always have it. And so it's like we keep going until we get to that place, okay, enough is enough. I'm in that place of peace. I've broken down that part of me, and now I can rest.
Amen. Amen. And also,
I think that faith actually is the willingness to look stupid.
Wow. That's deep.
Humility.
No. It's the willingness to look stupid because.
Yeah.
David looked stupid in front of the Goliath.
Yeah.
Noah was very stupid in terms of building a big ark, and there was no water to float that ark. But the thing is that they did it because of what the Word of God says. You see, we understand that when we go, sometimes, like someone was saying something, you're desperate, but when you're desperate, somebody may have know that they want something, but you know what? I can call a friend, and that friend might help you. But it's not your faith. It's like, you know, you have money in the bank, you know, you need something, you could always go and buy it. Or you want a car. You tell yourself, okay, I don't have insurance. I don't have the money to get insurance. I don't even have a pay stub. But I'm going to get a car. You could look stupid in front of somebody's eyes, but that is faith because you're stepping out on what the Word of God says. God said He owns everything. And He said, what else that can I not give to you if you are my child? So when you go out there, you say, look, I don't even care about the rest of the things that I don't have. I am stepping out there because God says so, and I know I'm going to get it. So I think that when people step out there without even knowing exactly, there's no support system, but you only have the Word of God to lean on, I think that's faith.
Amen. That's blessing. Yes. Amen. And when you think about her situation, because I'm sure she has to go through, like, he probably has guards or people she has to go through to get to him, and they're probably like, did she come again?
Yes.
And she can't care about what, you know, the red tape or whoever she has to get to him, and not only his attitude, but their attitude. You know, people snicker, people talk, or he's not going, you know, is this the third day you came or whatever? See, you're right. That's she's the willingness. By that time, everybody knows her need, and they're probably
right.
Saying that they don't think it's going to happen to her, but she's still coming.
Mm.
Yeah.
Go ahead. And sometimes it makes me wonder, the people who do say, it don't take all that, you're not showing faith, is it that they really don't want to do what it takes?
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Because right.
That they don't, you know, that's their way of being detached and not committing to, like, being humble, looking stupid. People say, are you praying again? You going in again? You going to church again, you doing this again? So they kind of say, well, don't take all that. You know, I got faith. I'll have to do all that. But they don't. So, but that's something that they're really not willing to do, to come out
yeah,
of themselves.
Or you want
that.
To get a house and you know that you don't have the money. But you go to, you call your real estate agent and say, here, I want to buy a house. You know, you don't have no money. Show me a house.
Wow.
And you go and you say, God, I can put a claim on this house. I have no money. But God is going to send somebody because you step out there. You made a first step. Once you made that step, God is going to move.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
I call that ridiculous or crazy fate.
And you really touched on something when you said people just don't want to do it. I admit that I was in that place for a long time. I'm not one. Well, I guess I should say I used to not be one up until recently who would just pray for a long time because I'm very contemplative. I like to just sit in his presence. I like to worship. I like to read. And I figure if I want to hear from him, I need to be quiet. So I always bucked against doing long prayers, and I kept saying, I'm not that person. Maybe I'm not called to do this. But it took Holy Spirit himself to give me a vision, and it changed everything. And this just happened recently. He showed me a picture of my petitions being on sheets of paper. And every time I would cry out to God, that was one sheet of paper. The next time I would cry out, it was another sheet of paper. So in front of God was this long desk, maybe 8 feet long. And I was on the right-hand side. My sheets of paper, my petitions, had stacked up higher than anybody else's. Mine were maybe 2 or 3 feet long, and other people only had maybe 2 or 3 sheets. Somebody maybe had 16 sheets. Maybe somebody had 8 sheets, but I must have had at least 40 sheets. He showed it to me in a glimpse, and I got it. And ever since he showed me that, I kept crying out to him continually for my daughter's situation. Of course, I was always crying out to him, but I maybe would do it every other day, or of course I would do it when it was time to pray. But ever since he showed me that picture, I now pray 6 times a day, 6 or 7 times a day. It's still not long, but I'm cognizant of the fact that I need to pray. And ever since I started doing that, now my daughter has received her complete healing. She had a measure of healing before. It would go away and it would come back. But now she has her complete healing. And although it wasn't only from me praying, it was him sending me somewhere else. But point is, he provided the resource so that I could get to that place. And that did not happen until he gave me that vision. So I agree. I was one of those people who didn't think that it took all that you don't need to be in intercession for 20 minutes. Just say what you have to say and get out of it. But Holy Spirit himself had to show me my petitions stacked up higher than other people for me to finally get it. So I agree.
Thank you for being transparent, because that's why we're here, because everyone was at that state at one time, you know, and we're here to gain biblical truth and to go higher and higher in understanding and increase our faith and our and going in consistently on different matters, whether we see a result or not.
I could identify with what Junelle just said. Some of you guys knew that I was in an accident, and I had no car to go any place. And one night I just went to bed, and the next day the Holy Spirit told me to go to the car dealership. Now I don't have no money. I don't have no insurance. I didn't even think about insurance, because as a result of the accident, I didn't have no more insurance. But I went to the car dealership. And the picture in my head was the car I wanted. When the guy told me that you have a car and he brought a car, I walk away from there, walk away from that car dealership, went to another one. And God miraculously opened the door. And when the lady asked me, do you have insurance? I said, no. When she checked, she said, no, you have insurance. It wasn't taken off. So I went out there without no pay stub, with nothing. And when you see that you walk into something like that, then it gives you that momentum to say, you know what, look what God did, look how my faith was, and now I'm looking for a house, don't have no money to buy a house. So, and I put in claims on houses. So my thing is that when you, once God, once you realize or you get a taste of what faith really is, you're not looking back. Because there's nobody can talk you out of anything, because it's already in the Word. Everything that you need is already in the Word. Healing, it's right there. Prosperity is right there. God already gave it to you. Just claim it.
Amen.
So that's
Amen.
That's ridiculous faith. You go there, ridiculous. You don't care because you know it's already there. You don't have to have no money in the bank because God already said, you know, He can supply all your needs according to your riches. He said He's going to give you enough for your friends and family. He gave me enough for my friend and family. I go out there and get it. So nobody's going to tell me, when you're doing a day, you're dressed like if you have money. Always looking real good. Nobody should even know that you don't have any money, because God already put the blessing on you. So, I mean, that's how it is. I mean, I see faith like that. I get so ridiculous that I would do things and said, God, it's already there. We are God's children. When we look at other people who are getting stuff, and you tell themselves, look how they're getting it, but they don't even have any faith. You don't even know what they're doing. But we are God's children. Why would God would not give us the best when we ask? It's already there. Just claim it.
Yes. Now we
I was just going to say, the other thing, when you see individuals that continually go to God for the same thing, you know, when you're listening to these individuals, you know, come week after week and they ask for the same thing, you know, other people are listening, other people are watching, other people are waiting. And so when you have somebody that gets healed, and you know that somebody has been praying, or you know that somebody has been praying for a financial breakthrough, and then God actually delivers and that allows that thing to happen, what happens in the process, not only does it build and increase your faith, but it increases the faith of the other people around you. And so sometimes, you know, somebody mentioned, you know, things not happening when we want it or how we want it, and it may be because you haven't made your request known before other men. You haven't been willing to look stupid and put yourself out there. And it's like, you know, God wants to prove himself, not just to us, but, you know, our testimony becomes the very thing that, you know, may build somebody else's faith. And so we can't be afraid, you know, not to continue to ask when God hasn't delivered. It doesn't mean that he won't. Maybe not right now, but yeah, eventually.
Amen, amen. Thank you. Amen. Now we're going to kind of turn the discussion as far as being persistent as an intercessor, why we persist in prayer. And I'm going to read a little excerpt, because one of the books that we're looking at is Intercession Unleashed by Belinda Farrington, and The Beginner's Guide to Intercessory Prayer, with the sheet. And on an intercession on Leaf, on page 19, Jesus talking to Peter tells him how Satan wants to have you, order to sift you as wheat. Don't think that the struggles of an individual that you're led to pray for is just everyday typical situations. Their struggles are personal and specific, designed to make that individual submit and surrender to the enemy. The enemy literally wants to have their lives, have your life, have my life. He is intentionally to sift us as wheat. His first strikes us hard with trials and tests and leave us feeling alone and abandoned. He follows that and strikes our minds and begins to speak to us. And it is the beating of great trials that begins to feel like a flail in a life of beating us down. But don't forget that after the sifting process that we can be used to find flat flour. In other words, regardless of the enemy's intentions, when he's starting to agitate us with the cares of life, we will end up and reap the Lord's results as we stay in his will. And I brought that out because that's so profound, because as intercessors, just the fact that know that we have an enemy that that is seeking to sift us, our family, our communities, our country, our mankind as we, it is in itself motivation to be persistent with prayer and be persistent to make our, not only for ourselves, but just for the for our generational, for God's kingdom. And also it says in Romans 8:34, you know, that Christ is at the right hand interceding. It doesn't say he interceded for us. He's interceding for us. So Christ is interceding. So if we are no greater than our Lord, and that's a great motivation for us to keep that, because a lot of times in the we go in our lives, the vicissitudes of life, we get caught up in the logistics of things, you know. Oh, my car, or this illness, but when it comes down to the basic battle, it is the enemy that seeks to sift us as we see that.
I just think that I'm glad you brought that point out, because what it shows is just as persistent as he is in his plot or his assignment to sift or destroy not only us, but our family, our friends, the nation, everything that we believe in, the very foundation of the church, everything that we have grown to believe. And God knows we see that now. We see such a sifting and a plot of the enemy that has been so masterful. Not only has it been masterful, it's been persistent. He's not let up.
Mm-hmm.
He has been moving consistently in that sifting as wheat. He's been consistent at bringing destruction. He's been consistent at trying to bring strife in the house of God. We see now where there is so much division like we've never seen before amongst the household of faith, amongst the brethren, no unity. We see that such a great level of competition, such a great level of envy, and a great level of where we are no longer focusing on those things that really matter, no longer mm-hmm. focusing on soul winning, no longer focusing on educating the new believers into the word of the Lord. Everything has become either yeah. about us, about what we want. And it has been the enemy that's been driving that persistently, nonstop. And because of the persistence, I was speaking to someone today, and it was like, I think it was yesterday, and as they were saying, what we're seeing now is the manifestation of what's already been happening. We are now seeing some of this stuff that we're seeing that's scaring us, that's bringing fear to us, is things that were already working behind the scenes, the things that the enemy was doing, the entanglement that he was bringing to the believer, the tricks that he was playing on leaders, the tricks that he was playing privately with people, and he was persistent in his plot. He never let up. And now we are seeing the unveiling of what was happening behind the scenes. And so our persistence, our continually prayer for our children, even though they may look like they're not coming, you got to stay persistent, because he's not going to let off his persistence on trying to get them. The moment, it seems like the moment you pray and it looks like you're getting a breakthrough, he persistently coming back again. Okay, I tried this with them before. Let me try it this way again. So he stays persistent on his plan. So we've got to stay persistent in prayer and interceding for their soul. We've got to stay persistent in interceding for our nation, even though it seems like, okay, we thought this judge wasn't going to get in, or we thought they would have impeached him by now, or we thought this, he keeps moving, and it seems like one thing moves, he should have been impeached, or he should not have made it, and the enemy keeps showing us, he keeps throwing up things, and he is, and his plot is persistent, and it's moving, and it's not stopping. And so when we are not persistent in prayer, all he does is advance his agenda. all that happens is because if we get caught up with the cliche that says it doesn't take all that or you already talked to God and that's enough, if we get caught up in that, which the enemy wants us to, and we stop being persistent because he's hammering the nails in their coffin, and our prayers are pulling the nails out. And so if he keeps having all the time to hammer them in and we're no longer taking the time to pull them out, then we wonder how some things happen. And it is because he remained persistent, but we didn't. He remained consistent, but we didn't. He remained on his job, but we pulled off ours. And it's all because sometimes we make light of spiritual things. I think we are in one of the most carnal times of the church. The church is more carnal now than it's ever been. We take all of our principles from the world. All of our teachings come from business trainings. Everything we teach in church now, it came from a corporate setting. We've taken more teaching from them than they're taking from us.
That's right.
We've adopted all of their principles. We are doing everything that they do, and we think we're advancing. Our leadership is we did what we learned in our corporate training. How could it be? How could it be that the world is teaching the church? How is it that the world is giving us what we should be doing when we should be basing what we do upon Scripture? The Scripture gives you everything to build a model of the church. It gives you everything to build up leadership. It gives you everything to build up people. But yet we feel like because we become so carnal that the church, the Bible is not enough. We need to look like them. And so his persistency in changing, he's been so persistent in changing the image of what sanctification looks like. He's been so persistent in changing the image of what a leader should look like. A leader now must own a jet, own a baby mansion. If you've been called to preach and you're really a pastor, you should own this. You should have these many degrees. He's changed the image. And so now everything is corporate. It don't look like Paul, who said, "What I had all of my degrees, everything that I've done, I consider it nothing but dung for Christ, that I might win Christ." And we don't, our pastors and our leaders don't look like that no more. They don't look like the ones that Jesus said, "No man having left houses and lands and all of this material stuff for the gospel in my sake shall receive." And this, like, our pastors don't look like that. Our preachers don't look like that. Our evangelists don't look like that. Which he's been persistent. He's changed the image. And we ran with the flow. The church no longer has a voice to say, wait a minute, whether you have this or not. You can have it, but whether you have it or not, I'm not marking your call by that. Now, I don't have a problem with you having that, but I'm not saying you've been called because you have it. What shows me you have it is your life. Are you living the Scripture? Do you have the fruit of the Spirit? But because that we're not persistent in prayer, our eyes are no longer open, our ears are shut, we no longer desire. And so, you know, I'm so glad you brought that out, Alicia, because the intercessor, if nobody else remains persistent, the intercessor needs to be persistent. If nobody else is staying on the wall, the intercessor needs to stand on the wall. I was saying the other week I felt so drained and so uncovered because I could tell that there was not enough prayer going circling around me. And I'm telling you, intercessors are vital, especially for leaders. Intercessors are vital. You cover us. You put us in a safe place. Your prayers put a hedge around us. Your prayers keep the devil off of us. Your prayers keep us sane and keep us strong and keep us focused and keep us doing the will of God. The intercessors are necessary. Yes. We need the voice of the intercessor that is persistent, that is persistently praying over the vision, that is persistently covering the pastor, that's consistently praying for the souls that are assigned to that pastor's calling. The intercessors, your voice is everything. You are everything, whether you believe it or not, whether your name get called out, whether they acknowledge you, you are everything. You are vital. You are a vital organ to the body. Your positioning, your obedience, your persistence in prayer helps to keep the church in a position where lives can be saved. in positions. It's the reason why many ministries haven't died yet. It's the reason why many pastors haven't miscarried. It's the reason why they're still here, because they have intercessors and they have people who are praying. It's the reason why some visions come to pass and some don't, because there is somebody who is laying between the porch and the altar and who is birthing out visions. So your persistence is everything. Is everything. And if we got leaders or pastors that are on this call, if you don't have intercessors, you are missing your. It's a wonder why your warfare is intense. It's a wonder why things seem like they're not happening. The strongest part of your church should be your prayer ministry. The strongest thing in your church should be somebody who's consistently speaking life, persistently praying over what God gave you, persistently calling on the name of the Lord for you, persistently standing in the gap for you and your family, persistently praying over your marriage, persistently praying over your mind, because there is a warfare that comes to leadership that you can't even begin to imagine. It's a sign. It finds its way. And so there is the need for the persistent intercessor, because if you don't know that the enemy is persistent in sifting us as wheat, if you don't know it, then you won't be persistent. His plan will keep advancing, and we will keep seeing what we're seeing in the 21st century church. Amen.
God is good. Amen. Amen. And God is looking for us to be in position for, you know, even in your book on page 30, it says in Ezekiel 22:30, where the Lord says, "And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap for me, for the land that I should not destroy, but I found none." We don't want him to seek for intercessors for our leaders and find none. Jesus.
Wow.
And so in this teaching, it's just, you know, God, there's no condemnation where, you know, he is a God that when we confess and we just realize where we have been, that he's faithful to forgive us, and that he's a God of a second chance. So it's just a place to put this on our minds so we can get in position and hold up our leaders and just, you know, and just be persistent about it, not just for our own needs and the but also especially for our leaders. Because one other thing that made me think about when I thought about how people say don't take all that, I hear a lot of people, and these are believers, they are so hard on leaders. And when we hear things, I used to get a lot of heated discussions. I had to learn how to just put people to the word. When something happens to a leader that falls, they would say stuff like, or even the pastor that committed suicide not long ago, they would say stuff like, well, he didn't have enough anointing. That's what a lot of people who profess Christ say. And I tell them, you don't understand, it's because of his anointing that he's attacked. You know, it's because of that. Does he have enough covering? So we do have to be it, because we know.
That's good consideration.
And and we have to keep praying for the body of Christ, because it is kind of hard to realize that a lot of people, you know, they're harder than when you're out on the street witnessing to, you know, people who are lost or backslidden, that they are, you know, in the church and going to church and still have those types of attitudes towards leaders and towards prayer. So we have to pray for our leaders and for the body, the believers in general. That is very crucial. It reminds me of the pastor I grew up with, Richard Hinton. I was watching a YouTube video of him. He's going on to be with the Lord, but he was preaching, talking about that, I think it's Matthew, when Jesus cast the devils out of that the little boy. Before that, the disciples tried to do it, and they couldn't, and Jesus came along and did it, and later on they asked him, you know, how did you do that? He said, well, this kind comes out only by prayer and
fasting.
And then he said at the end, we come to the time, this is the time of the this kind. We're at the age of, you know, we're dealing with things that only come out by prayer and fasting. And so it's like the awakening that we have to, you know, even though we know it, to still constantly be putting it on our minds in teachings like this.
Amen. And sometimes you have to be in around the voice that provokes you to your purpose. Because when purpose is not provoked, it will die. Because we become comfortable. We become comfortable in what we have, and we don't see this. We are in a state of urgency in the body of Christ. In the world, we are in a true state of urgency. And what scares me is the many people who don't see it. The many people who are unaware, who are desensitized to the times. And God gave me something that blessed me. He said the times are only a threat. The times that we're living in are only a threat to a man who does not know God. So these times are only a threat to the man who does not know God. But for the man who knows God, he has access in heaven. And so even though things may be happening one way, we have influence in heavenly places. But if we are not sensitive and aware of, what does the word say, walking circumspectly, redeeming the time, if we are not really walking in the Spirit, I'm not talking about attending church and being in place. That's wonderful. I love it. But if you're not in position in the Spirit, you can be at church all day long, and everybody around you still be in sin. Everybody around you still bound. Everybody around you still playing church. Why? Because I'm in place at church, but I'm not in position in the Spirit. And if you are desensitized, you're showing up physically, but where are you spiritually? I see you at church all the time. I see you here. Yes, you are here. But spiritually, are you here? Are you in your position? And so we have got to be provoked so that we remain persistent. Keep praying until you see chains loose. Don't get to the point to where you start to come into agreement with the bondage, because my God have mercy. If the intercessors are fine with the bondage, then what happens to the soul? What happens to the vision? What happens to the nation? What happens to what should be being birthed out? What happens to that? And so we have to be provoked. We have to be around people who provoke us. Sometimes we don't like it, but we need it. Provoke me to pray. Provoke me to get myself together. Provoke me to listen. Provoke me not to want to be a part of the clique and want to be a, and want me and I want to be at Jesus' feet. Provoke me to not be popular, but let me be in His presence. Provoke me to be able to say, this is what God said to me concerning the body. This is what God said concerning where we are as a church. Provoke me to the place that I will have something to say, instead of waiting for somebody else to tell me what God said. Provoke me into enough intercession that I'll be able to say, this is what God is saying concerning the nation. This is what God is saying concerning the times that we're in. This is what God is saying that we need to do. Where are the voice of the intercessors who have been persistent in prayer? And this is not just for us, because we're on, don't forget, we're on the radio right now. We are live. And so this is not just for those who have called in. It is for everyone who will hear, those who are listening now, and those who will go back to the archive and listen. And so the challenge becomes, are you willing to be persistent for the cause of the kingdom? And even as Brother Donald said earlier, are you willing to look stupid because of what you believe? Because you believe that Jesus said that it's going to rain for 40 days, are you willing to look stupid enough to build an ark when everybody's laughing and saying, Noah, what you doing?
Yep.
Are you willing to look crazy, Nehemiah, and go build the temple? And they're talking about you and saying, what are you doing? Why are you trying to rebuild the lost places? Why are you trying to have a place for those that God has handpicked to come into? And sometimes the enemy is provoking those of you that God has called to build up the waste places, trying to discourage. Get around the provokers. Provokers stay in your ear. Let them stay in your ear. The people that push you to prayer, that push you to understand how heavy your call is, how weighty you are, how important you are, because you are. Because the devil will try to make you think you're not, and by doing so, he kills the life of the body. Because if I can make you think you're not important, then you're going to stop praying. If I can make you think that you're not having impact, then you'll stop asking God for this. And then so he'll be doing what he's doing, being persistent. But I want every intercessor to know, my God, it doesn't matter how you pray. Everybody don't sound alike. It doesn't matter. Your prayers matter. You matter. We need the prayer of the intercessors. We need the people to pray and to push out and to birth out, to lay out, to fast, to remain persistent. We need it. We don't just want it. We need it. Somebody's life is depending on you just sometimes going to turn down your plate and crying out to God for somebody you don't even know. My God, marriages are saved because you intercede. Children are saved because you intercede.
Jesus.
My God, stay persistent and believe in your persistence.
Jesus. Yeah.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Elder Belinda, I was listening to everything that you said, and it's almost confirmation to what you said, because for the last 3 days, when I went to sleep, Tina has been, has the church gone silent? And I've been praying and asking God to reveal that question to me. And it only comes like when I'm asleep. And during the time when I was asleep, I was in a circle, and it's not the first time I dreamed myself being in a circle. And there were a lot of women around me, and they just kept praying and praying and praying. They all had on white, and they was reaching out to me, but the Spirit of the Lord said, don't touch her. And I was trying to see their faces, and he said, it's not important that you see who they are. So what you were saying about, you know, without the intercessors, if we did not have the intercessors to pray for the pastors, for the people that's in the church, in the house of God, where would we be? So that's the question. Kept have the church going silent. And I'm just, oh God. Jesus.
Keep your mouth open, intercessors. Keep your mouth open, intercessors. Don't get distracted. And I say this often, as much as what God has given me to do, my first assignment, I know, is to intercede outside of everything else. I don't even know I do a lot of stuff. My first assignment, my weightiest mandate is the mandate of intercession. It is to pray and to cover. And that's why intercessors can't hold grudges, because you don't know who God going to want you to pray for. You intercessors have to be people who know how to let go stuff quick. You can't hold on to mess. You can't hold on to unforgiveness. You can't hold on because God needs to be able to trust you to pray for somebody who might have hurt you, somebody who might have offended you, and you may be the very person to pray and birth their purpose out. And you got to remember, you're doing it because God said it. And so intercessors have to have a pure heart. They have to be somebody walking love and walking forgiveness. And God trained me in there early on in my salvation. It was early. He taught me to just start taking stuff off. And it became such a practice to me that when stuff hurt me, I started saying, I choose to forgive. I choose to let this go. I take it off. I will not hold this. I will not let this hurt me. I will not let this go in. It became such a pattern of my behavior, because if we let those daggers get in our heart, the Bible says, if you regard iniquity in your heart, the Lord will not hear you.
Hear you.
That's plain and simple. If you regard iniquity, that's what the scripture says. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. He's not going to hear my prayer. So iniquity must not be bound up in my heart if I am going to pray for somebody.
Amen. Amen.
Oh, so much of things you touch on tonight is just a wake, as an eye awakener, because when, as intercessors, whenever you know that you're not right with God, you do not get that passion to pray. Or anytime you do anything that is not aligning with the Word, it's like when Adam sinned, he ran and hid. Whenever we do certain things that is just aligned with the Word, we cannot face God. I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit does not, it's like if something leaves us. So we have our own conviction when something happens. And it's, we have to learn to listen and be sensitive to what that Spirit is saying to us. Make it right. Like, there's so many things you just said. Those certain things are being stripped away. We cannot hold ambiguity in our hearts. The people them who hurt us the most, those are the people we pray for the most. That's your testing ground.
Oh, wow.
People who walk you, the people who try to destroy you, those are the people you have to stand in the gap for. Because who knows what? Everybody have a different test paper in front of us. We go through everything, but there's a time that we have to take the test.
My God.
I don't know if you are going to come out with an F or whatever, but, you know, and God have all the time.
Yeah,
we can go back and take that test again and again and again. He has all the time.
Yes.
Wow.
I have one final thing to say about, it's coming from the Chief's Guide to Intercessory Prayer, because like you said, Elder Belinda said that we don't want to be humiliated, because sometimes, you know, we are in a society that you are judged by what you have or if you what you're believing for, when is it going to come. And we have to remember we are warring in the Spirit. And one thing he brings out is that God has a timing. For example, with Hannah, when she was praying, Eli thought she was drunk, but she didn't care. She knew, you know, but at the point of time, God did bless her with a child. God develops our character through it, persistence and endurance. A lot of times he's working on the hearts of others, because remember, those people who we break a stronghold on, they're free. They, you know, God gives us free will. He's not, so he's working on the hearts of them and situation. And the last thing, it takes time for our intercession to release the power of the Holy Spirit to overcome the darkness, power of darkness. So we have to keep persistent. And God works through our involvement, through our prayer, and it's essential to God's kingdom coming and his will be done on earth. And then the last thing, he instructs us not to lose heart in our prayer efforts. In Galatians 6:9, it says, let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. So we can't measure our intercession by, if we, some things we may not see for a long time. I remember he has an example, I forgot the man's name, who was praying for salvation for 63 years for another soul. And he actually turned, you know, became born again after this intercessor passed away. So we have to know that God's word is true, as he's faithful, and some things we may not see, but that don't mean we don't pray. Because this thing is generation, this thing is his kingdom, and it's, you know, our minds are so temporal. And so we look at what's now and stuff. You may not see your relative, but that don't mean that God's not going to save them. So you got to keep praying until the day you leave here.
Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Jesus. My God.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Because this walk is by faith and not by sight.
Mm.
Oh, God.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, God.
Mm-hmm.
Alicia, can you read the statement? Can you speak on the statement you had on God teaches us truth to build our character? I think it's coming out of the beginning, the beginner's book on intercessory prayer. Can you read that for us?
Let me see. It says, one of the second reasons to delay and answer the prayer. Often God teaches us truth and builds our character during the waiting time in ways that no other process could accomplish. And he's going on to say, when I spent a year praying for a young girl in a coma, God taught us many things, the least of which was patience and endurance. He also increased my compassion for other people who are hurting during this time. He taught me the power of certain forms of prayer and that they often work together. There are simply some things God can work into us during these periods of waiting and persevering that he can do no other way. So some things we're not going to even get if we don't pray. It reminds me, I can't remember this page when you talk about, Elder Belinda, the muscle that we have to build in our prayer. And it only could come from praying.
Wow. Jesus. Ooh. I thank God for this refreshing teaching. This is refreshing me tonight. It's refreshing me because it's almost bringing things back into focus on how important your persistence is, even when you are sometimes reaching places of frustration. Because sometimes frustration will try to find its way into your persistent intercession. Because sometimes even the very ones that you may be praying for can come to frustrate you while you're praying and believing God for whatever they need, and you become agitated, you know, by something that they do or something that they say, because you are persisting in prayer concerning them. And so I think this teaching, I know for me, it's just really becoming refreshing. It's refreshing me because it's showing just how even in those times when you, the very thing or person or vision or people or things that you're praying for, when the enemy would try to even use them to frustrate you. You must remain persistent, because that passage you just read in Dutch Sheets' book about God is teaching us something about ourselves while we're persisting, while we're waiting. He's building our character. He's building us up while we're praying for them and waiting for God to heal them. He's teaching us to love them in spite of. He's teaching us some tips on how to effectively minister to them. He's teaching us so much.
Now we can only get it in the session.
My Lord.
Oh, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank God for the refreshing through him speaking to us. And we do want to take a moment right now to hear feedback concerning the teaching, concerning some thoughts that you have, even questions, or just to hear from you, those of you, especially those of you that's been sitting back quietly, not participating in the conversation. We'll hear from you before we close out the call tonight. I'm going to persistently wait till I hear somebody.
No, this teaching like this is very good, because there's a couple of things that God really stresses on in the Word, And we have to learn to address it as individuals. One is sex and the other one is money. Those are the two dominant things that destroy people's lives.
Wow.
We have to ask God to help us those strongholds. When people get money, the attitude and the behavior changes. And when sometimes they're free or whatever, sex could be the other thing. And so we have to understand what we try to bring into our lives that will contaminate our lives and keep us away from aligning ourselves and building that spiritual muscle. We should have. I really welcome this forum tonight because we couldn't be strong or show somebody that we strong, but yet still that we weak, because there are areas in our lives that we need to put under the blood. So God help me. I need you more than ever. Until we have a discussion like this, then we realize how much we need God.
Thanks, Lord.
Nobody's better than anyone. All of us need God.
Mm-hmm.
Every one of us needs
Hallelujah.
God. Some area in our lives. There's nobody who is high on a throne or who is down in the valley. Everybody needs God in some. We have weakness. All of us have a limp. Every one of us have a limp. I don't know your limp. You don't know my limp. But whatever is the limp, we have to ask God to help us in those areas.
Thank you, Lord. Any other, and thank you so much, Minister Alicia. Thank you so much for such a well-prepared teaching. Thank you for a thought-provoking teaching on tonight, just bringing us back into focus and reminding us that there's nothing wrong with persisting in prayer. As a matter of fact, it ought to be part of who we are, our persistency. It should be one of our character traits as an intercessor, is to be known as one who persists, one who continues, one who does not let go. Even the scripture says, I have placed watchmen on the wall who will not cease to pray until there is a change. And so that's what he has positioned us to be, the kind that will not stop praying until something changes, until something breaks, until something is different about this particular issue. And it's okay. It's okay to always be found in prayer. It's okay to always let them label you as the one who prays all the time. You're in a good place. I'd rather you label me there than in a lot of other places. Be found in prayer. Persistent in prayer. Be intentional in prayer. Set a focus. Set something you believe in God for. Set a mark. Because if you don't set a mark, how will you know if you reached it? If you don't have something that you're believing to see, how will you know if God has answered? So there ought to be something you are expecting to see. Expect to see something and pray until you see what you have said. That's faith, to set a mark. Picture God doing something great. Picture God bringing somebody out. Picture God destroying some of the cycles in the lives of those that you love. Picture God doing something in the body of Christ that when you look at it, there's healing and deliverance and breakthrough. Let God picture that. Get it in your mind. If it's miracles, signs, and wonders in the church like never before, picture it and ask for it. See it in front of you that the day is coming where they will do the signs and wonders like they did when Paul and Peter walked the streets and people were healed by their shadow. Picture something. Give yourself a picture. Mm-hmm. Give yourself mm-hmm. something to be shooting for. There's something I expect mm-hmm. to see.
Mm-hmm.
And believe that you'll see it. Believe mm-hmm. in who God called you to be, and I cannot say that enough. If nobody else ever tells you, and I believe many people will, you are valuable. You are necessary. We need you. We need you to stay persistent. We need you to pray for us. We need you to get woke up in the middle of the night. We need you to fast when you were intended to do something else. We need you to do that. We need God to interrupt your plans and call you to pray. Because a conversation with God can change my life. A conversation with God can change your children's life. A conversation with God can stop that person over there in Korea from blowing up our country. A conversation with God can change so many things. So keep talking.
Thank you, Lord.
Keep talking to him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Mm. If there are no more thoughts or concerns, we're going to go ahead and close out in prayer. And again, thank you, Minister Alicia. Thank you to the members of the Prophetic Intercessors Network that are on the line tonight that shared in the conversation, and those of you that maybe didn't share but you're in the background just praying for the call. Thank you for that. Thank you for being on the call tonight. Thank you for setting aside this time because this is vitally important. Somebody listening tonight, you impacted their life. You may never know how, and you may never know who, but I feel the presence of the Lord on this call. I feel his spirit moving, so I know somebody has been delivered. Somebody has gotten some answers. Somebody's direction is changing. Somebody is getting back in position, all because we all obeyed tonight. And we got on this phone and we made a decision to obey God and to do this. So it's not in vain. God
Thank
has
you,
done
Lord.
Something great in the lives
Thank
of some
you,
individuals on tonight. And for that, we are glad. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, God.
Thank
so we're going to close out. Alicia, if you start our close out, I'll close it out. So if you start our close out prayer and I'll close it out, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Father God, we just thank you for tonight, oh God. We thank you, Lord, that you have looked for us, oh Father God, that you have called us before the foundation of the earth, oh Father God. And Lord, we come into alignment with your word, oh Father God, that we are the ones who will stand in the gap, oh Father God, to do what you have us to do, oh Father God. We thank you, Lord, for tonight, for coming together, Lord, encouraging one another, oh Father God, that we can be vulnerable to your word, oh Father God. We thank you for the thoughts you have towards us, oh Father God. So we come today, Lord, and we say yes, oh God. Yes to your will, Lord. Yes to your word, Lord. Move on in position, oh Father God. Help our minds, oh Father God. We surrender every thought to you, oh Father God. We realize that we are not our own, but we are yours, oh Father God, and that we are here to help build your kingdom, oh Father God. And we declare and decree, oh God, that we will keep our mouths open for you, saying your word. If we open our mouths, that you will fill it, oh Father God. So fill us with the prayers that you want to say, oh Father God, with the people that you want us to stand in the gap for, oh Father God, with the leaders and the things that you once said and decreed and declare over our leadership, oh Father God. We thank you, oh God, for this time, and we thank you, Lord, that you love us enough, oh Father God, to consider us, oh God, that you love us enough to have us on your mind the way you did Abraham, that you said, he is my friend, I will let him know my plans, and he interceded for his nephew, oh Father God. Thank you that you would give us the opportunity to intercede for our loved ones, oh God, to intercede for the people that you have on your mind, oh Father God, in the name of Jesus, and for our leaders and for our country and for mankind, oh God. And we give you honor and praise and glory, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, and we just thank you, Lord, and we just want to seal this call tonight under the blood, God. Every word that you have spoken, everything,
yes,
God, that
yes.
is going down into our spirit, Father, we thank you for it tonight. We thank you for the divine release. We thank you, Lord God, for taking this time, setting aside this time, God, to speak to us. We thank you for Alicia on tonight, God. We say cover,
yes,
shield, and protect,
Lord.
That there be no backlash,
yes,
of the enemy tonight,
yes,
God,
Lord.
Even as she has positioned herself, God, to be, God, to be,
yes,
apt,
God.
To teach tonight, God. Cover the woman of God. Cover her with your,
yes,
blood. Cover her, oh God. We thank you, Lord, that you set a hedge of protection all around her, Father. We thank,
yes,
you tonight, God,
God,
for every pen intercessor that's on this call, God, and even our guest,
yes,
intercessors that are on this line tonight, people of prayer, people who love to pray. Father, we pray for them tonight, God, that you would, God, continue to use them and build them up, God. Use them for your kingdom for such a time as this. And Father, I pray that you'll give them divine strength, that, God, that you'll continue to build them up, that you'll continue to, God, to even dispatch angels that are on assignment,
yes,
God, that will surround them, that would give them, God, energy and the spirit. Father, I pray over their family. I pray over their bodies, God, that you would just, God, give strength to their bodies, that you would,
yes,
keep them, God, that you would heal them, God, that you would watch over them,
yes,
Father, that you would continue to give them the words of intercession. Call them to be those, oh God, that are a mighty force in the kingdom for such a time as this. Father, that,
yes,
even,
yes,
as they open up their mouths wide, that you're going to fill it with knowledge and wisdom and understanding. We thank you for their lives. We thank you, God, that you are using them for your glory. We pray tonight, oh God, for every intercessor. We thank you, oh God, that you would breathe on them. Breathe on,
yes,
them,
God.
Once again. Father,
yes,
every house that they are assigned, yes, to, God, in the name,
yes,
of Jesus. Father, that you'll begin to strengthen their voice in their house. And God, that they would stand in the gap. Hallelujah. And God, that they will bring support and strength, oh God, to that team, oh God, to that ministry. Father, I pray for them in the name of Jesus, that they will lay between the porch and the altar, oh God, and God, that you would have your way in their lives, and God, that you would use them, God, hallelujah, as a mighty weapon in your hand. Father, that you would use their voice to speak into the atmosphere. And
yes,
God, even,
Lord.
As they release their sound, oh God, every spirit of discord is broken, God. Every yoke is broken. Every chain is loose, God. Lives are saved and hearts are mended, God. We thank you for this tonight. We thank you for what you're doing. We pray tonight, God, Lord, that they leave this line encouraged, that they leave this line tonight seeking,
yes,
you, that they leave this line tonight, God, going into your presence. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, God. Provoke,
hallelujah,
to pray more. Provoke
thank
to
you,
seek you more, God. Let them be provoked unto righteousness.
Hallelujah.
Let them be provoked into your presence. Let them be provoked to be more disciplined. Let them be provoked to be more committed. Hallelujah. Hey, God.
Thank you,
Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you
thank
that your
God.
Spirit provokes us on tonight. Thank you that your spirit drives us on tonight. Thank you, Lord, hallelujah, that we are
thank
here
you,
to answer the call of the Lord, that we are here,
thank
oh God,
Lord.
Hallelujah, to do what
thank
thus
you,
saith the Lord. And we give you the glory and the honor for all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen,
amen,
amen. And we bless him for it tonight. We give him glory for it tonight. And we believe that it's already done. And we believe that we're leaving this line better.
Amen.
Came
thank
on.
You.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you all again for calling in. Feel free to share this with someone, the same link that's on Facebook. All they have to do is press that link, and because it is automatically archived, so people can still go back and listen to this show. So please feel free to share it on somebody's timeline. If you feel like there's some intercessor that needs to be encouraged or some intercessor that needs to be provoked to pray more or to go deeper, whatever reason you feel led to share it with them so that they may continue to grow in grace. Again, I thank you so much for joining us tonight during this time of intercessory prayer and this time of teaching on persisting in prayer. This concludes our broadcast for tonight. God bless you and go in peace. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Amen. Good night.
Amen.